I want winners. I want people that want to win.
Last week, and we took a week off, but we're back as normal, and as always, let's get to the particulars. You can find all our stuff at CCH Picks on Twitter, and of course, CCHPicks.com, which has all of our updated spreadsheets with all of our plays and record and so forth, as well as Colin's power ratings, a number of other different things. Check that out over there. But as always, I am joined with Colin Wilson at CW of CCH. Colin, I know you're always dialed into college football, but this is a big week for you with your Royals starting the playoffs. How are you going to be the focus and allocate your time? I know you have a business trip tomorrow in the Royals game, right?
I have a business trip. I have three flights during the Royals game. What's even more sad is that the Royals are going to be playing game three while you and I are going to have super contest plays on Sunday in the NFL. It's just going to be a rough weekend. Rough weekend.
You've had a big weekend. You have got a big weekend, but an exciting one. Lots of college football, NFL, and obviously your Royals going over the weekend. So, obviously, we're missing Boy Wonder from the podcast. I believe he's probably getting ready to watch the Mariners playoff game. So we'll excuse him, but we actually do have a ton to get to, and hopefully my newborn stays quiet so I can crank through this podcast. We've got a lot of games to get to, so we'll probably hit on touch on a lot quickly. So, Colin, you ready to dive in?
Let's get it.
All right. So I know we've got nothing on Thursday posted. That doesn't mean we'll end up with something between SMU and Houston or Washington USD. But the first play that we've got, or that really is a Colin play, is on Friday, and it's the Southern Miss Marshall game. Colin, you hit the under 57.
I did hit the under on this game. The reason is because the total opened up, it opened up at 60, and it immediately attracted some over money between Southern Miss and Marshall. And Southern Miss has kind of been a surprise team this year, but at the same time, this total, you know, the spread was came out at 6.5. It trickled down to 5. Kind of looks like a back and forth game, and that's what really Marshall's been all year. Is you can't really trust them on either side of the ball. It's kind of, you know, crazy, especially that Purdue game. It always sticks in my brain. And plus, you know, they're losing as outright double-digit favorites. So it opened up as a 60, took some heavy money on the over. It came down to 56. I grabbed the under 57. I think this may be a good spot on a Friday night where you can get a first half under or a full game under even at 56.
There's our only CCH picks that anyone has on the weekday plays. So as we move into the weekend, transitioning from Southern Miss, who was undefeated against the spread, to another team who had been undefeated against the spread until Vandy was able to put a late cover and win against the Middle Tennessee State. You grabbed the Blue Raiders catching points against Western Kentucky.
Yeah, the great thing about Middle Tennessee State until last week was that they had covered every first half and every game just fine until kind of a little disappointment last week, and I love their quarterback. I grabbed 7.5 because I power rated this game below a touchdown, even though it's kind of settled in at a dead number at 8.5 or 8 across the board against Western Kentucky. I think this is a good spot where if you can get anything above a touchdown, you should take the Raiders.
And so the first game I've got posted on the board is Ohio State and Maryland. This is one I jumped on right on the opener, clicked on Sunday, and I had 28.5 against Maryland. This is one I really like, and you look at this Ohio State team, and they came in with such a hype around them, and they did nothing but really prove themselves against Virginia Tech, and then they've done nothing but underwhelm since, and they're 1-4 against the spread. They failed to cover those games by a combined 40 points. I think this is the week we finally see them get healthy. They're playing Maryland, and Maryland has just been unimpressive, losing to Bowling Green by 21. Michigan by 28, both of those at home. The one road game they have was a curb stomp by West Virginia of 39. And this Ohio State team is starting to feel a bit like Florida State, where they brought everybody back and a ton of hype around them, and they're just not delivering. But I think they can get themselves healthy this week. even though Cardale and JT Barrett are a 1-to-1 interception to touchdown ratio, I think we'll see a little bit more JT run the ball. But certainly Ezekiel Elliott's going to run the ball well. He is, you know, the fifth leading rusher in the nation, and Maryland's 102nd in the nation against the rush. I don't see any way how they stop this Ohio State offense. And Maryland's not going to score. They're an absolute dumpster fire QB. Their two QBs that they've been playing have less than 50% completions and 14 interceptions. This isn't a defense where Maryland can kind of get themselves on track. I don't think that they'll be able to score. The two Power 5 teams they've played, Michigan and West Virginia, they scored a combined 6 points. I don't see them scoring more than 7 or 10. Ohio State should have their way. I know the numbers in the low 30s call. You can give it to me in just a second, but I think wherever the number is, below 35, I think it's still a play as OSU lays the wood this weekend.
Yeah, 53%, which, you know, isn't great. 53% of the money is coming in on Maryland right now. 61% is coming in on the over. Over started at 53, went up to 54.5. But, you know, the ticket count for the side is really kind of 50-50, and it's steamed from the opener of 28.5 up to the current number of 33 across the board. Hanging in at 33.5 at Cantor Gaming. You know, for me, I'm laying off because I'm waiting for Ohio State to turn it. You know, if they don't cover this 33 and they don't start putting up some points on offense, I think Tom Herman's going to be kidnapped down there in Houston and brought back to Columbus. But, you know, you mentioned Florida State. If you guys don't want to play the 33, if you're a little scared off of the 33, this may be Florida State of 2014, where every second half side is gold. So if you miss the 33 and you're sitting there mid-game, hit the second half.
Yeah, you bring up an amazing point about Tom Herman. We've talked about him with how he's turned around Houston, how dynamic that offense looks, and how much we love Houston. But what a difference this Ohio State team is. And it really is turning into Florida State of 2014, where they are just underwhelming every year. And you have to put some of that on Tom Herman, because this offense is just not clicking the same way. So I think that's a great point. You know, the next game that we have is Illinois at Iowa. And this is one that I've hit. Illinois was on last week. I played them against Nebraska, and they were able to get a cover and actually snuck out an outright win late in the game. I like what we're seeing from the Illini, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. Not going to lie, the offense is an absolute mess. But defensively, they completely shut down Nebraska last week. They held Middle Tennessee to 368 yards the week before, which is well below their average. So while they're not good on offense, they have a very solid defense. And I'm not sold on this Iowa offense, which is 72nd in the nation. They're not a powerhouse. C.J. Beathard's been an okay quarterback. They were gifted 10 points last week against Wisconsin. So they haven't been real impressive. I don't think under any circumstances should Iowa, with a very average offense, be laying double digits to a halfway quality defense in Illinois. So I had to take the points here, and I just don't see Iowa covering the double digits.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I don't have a side in this game, but I think Illinois is, you know, ding, ding, ding. This is going to be one of my dirty parlay participants. You know, because we're sitting on a dead number of 11. ESPN FPI has this as a 7.5-point game. I have this as a 7-point game. So obviously double digits looks good. And I might just get a little crazy and sprinkle Chipotle money on a dirty parlay with them.
Yeah, I had an 11.5. I just don't see this. I can't see Iowa covering 12 or covering the double digits. So I think it's still a live play here. Another one to call. This is a big hit for you. I know this is one of the Sunday hits you had on the openers. Is the Red River Shootout, Oklahoma at Texas, which obviously played in Dallas. So you got a pretty nice number there based off where you had a power rating. You want to talk a little about that?
Yeah, my power rating has this. This is the whole thing. Is I got 13. I had 2x and I got that on open, and it immediately flew up. And everybody that's listening to the podcast or is looking at the number today is staring. You want to take OU, you want to take Baker Mayfield, you're staring at a 17, 16.5 at Bet Online, a 17.5 on Bovada, 16.5 on Bookmaker. Everywhere else is across the board at 17. So the question is would you recommend a play on this? Now, even though Oklahoma's getting 75% of the tickets right now, and the number seems to have stalled at 17, I put this game at 24. So, you know, the thing is I've read, and I'll drop a note here to our friend Sports Cheetah, who told me, you know, Texas is in this spot similarly, and they always cover when they're double-digit dogs, and this game always seems to end in single digits. You know, he may be right, but this Texas team, to me, is a very special team, and that's not in a good way. So I'm not sure if I'll buy back any off of that 2X, But, you know, this is down to the Texas State Fair. It's being played in the old Cotton Bowl. God knows why they're not playing at Jarrow World. You know, you can get a fried Snickers there. But, no, I'm saying take Oklahoma all day. Just because the public is all over OU doesn't mean that they're not right. So I would stick with OU.
Yeah, and you obviously got a good number, and you do bring up a good point. I mean, historically, the series has been in the places where Texas has got double digits. They've made it a game and sometimes won the game outright. It will be interesting to see. Would not surprise me to see some money coming on Texas on game day, just knowing the nature of this series. But certainly Texas has been a hot mess for the most part and making mistake after mistake. But and Oklahoma looked fantastic last week against West Virginia. I think they are the real deal. So it'll be interesting to watch if the money comes in. But a great grab there on that 13 on the opener.
The players within the – I just want to say the players within the locker room are tweeting at each other in public.
I saw that.
In a public space. I mean, how much of a dumpster fire is this locker room? I don't care what you put this number at.
Yeah, and I do like Charlie Strong, and I do think he ultimately will get this turned around, but you know, there's definitely some issues now when you've got that bullshit going on. So this is an interesting one, and you and I were just talking about this before we started the pod, and this is Baylor, Kansas. And I'll set it up that you've got the under here, and we've got a couple things going on. That, you know, Baylor's had a slew of big games, but Kansas now is starting, I believe, like their seventh string quarterback. And I think I've read this is the biggest spread ever for a home team to be catching. I think they're catching 44 now. You're looking at the under, Colin. You want to talk about some of the numbers you've got behind that?
Yeah, so I tweeted out earlier this week at my CWCCH account that Baylor has, I think the last five, it was 60. This is their total points scored, 60, 59. There's a 31 mixed in there. I think there was another 50 in there. But look at the total right now. It's sitting at 77. And, you know, there's a lot of money coming in, flooding in on the over when it first opened up. And it has not budged off 77 one bit. Now, the square book of Sportsbook has this at 78. But, you know, the juice has kind of fallen out in the 77. If you look at it, this dictates with a spread of 44 points, you're looking at this game being somewhere around 61-16. And I watched Kansas last week. The only reason they scored points on Iowa State was a 90-yard pick six. There was a punt return that was kind of loose. You know, it wasn't because Kansas could score any points, and it definitely wasn't because of the offense, because of the quarterback. So basically what you're banking on by taking the over with the 77 is that you think Baylor's going to score more than they ever have in the past 6 years against Kansas. I don't think they will, and I don't think Kansas will hold up their part. So I think the under 77 is good.
Yeah, I know that you haven't played that yet, correct?
I have not because game day steam with Baylor is a bitch, right? I mean, when is the last time you ever took a Baylor side or a Baylor you took a Baylor under and the number wasn't better 10 minutes before kick?
Yeah. Well, and it never feels good to take an under against a team like a Baylor or a TCU. It never feels good. But I'll give you something else to think about too. Think about last year when you know, obviously Baylor comes off the Texas Tech game, TCU was off of a big game, and they went into Kansas and just shit themselves. They could have cared less about that game. They got nowhere near the total. I think TCU was a 30-some-odd point favorite and won that game by maybe 13.
Yeah.
You just wonder what sort of effort Baylor gets. Because if Baylor goes full throttle, they could score 90 points if they wanted to play the full game all out and cover this themselves. But they're not going to do that. And so I love the angle here. You look back at what happened with TCU last year. How did Baylor fully get up for this game? So something to pay attention to on this team. I think this could be one that both of us end up on. But to your point, keep an eye on the movement there as we head towards game day.
Yeah, they're hosting West Virginia and Waco next week. They could care less about going up to Lawrence.
Absolutely. Just get a win and stay healthy. You'll see the second and third string in by the early third quarter, I'm sure. Okay, so moving on, one of our favorite teams, one of the teams Colin was hot on and got me turned on to well before the season started was the Temple Owls, and you grabbed 14.5 against our famed Tulane Green Wave.
Yeah, hoot. Temple, Temple's great. Temple and Texas A&M have been my teams, you know, from the beginning of the season. I had, you know, season win overs, conference winners, but I didn't hit a national championship on Temple, mostly because I couldn't find it. But, you know, they opened up 14.5. This number had really kind of trickled down to 14. It never got to 13.5, but at some books was hanging around 14 all week while Temple's been taking in a flood of money. just recently in the last 24 hours, the number is up to 16. I see that it's going to go to 16.5. I would think by game day, this might be one of those lines where you wake up Saturday morning, you get your coffee, and this mofo is sitting around 19 or 18.5 or something like that. The indicator does say it's going to go up. 80% of the money's coming in on Temple on the Owls at home against Tulane. And, you know, Tulane is a four-letter word to CCH. We don't like them. I still suggest taking the 16. I think this will cross 17. Go with Temple and don't worry about it.
Yeah, it looks like there's a couple of Vegas shops at that 50.5. For the most part, it's gone all the way back up to 16. I saw that move today. It was interesting seeing it pop down yesterday, but now I think it's correcting itself a little bit. Maybe a little bit of head fake there on some of the movement there.
We should talk about the head fake stuff. I think this should be a key part of our. Because so we got into a conundrum last week. At least I did. I know there was a lot of tweets last week, and a lot of my plays were very, very interesting. I hit Wazoo minus 12.5 last week on the opener, and the damn thing went up to 19. I hit Oregon minus 13.5. It went all the way down to 7 against Colorado. It's still covered. I hit Kansas State plus 3.5, went all the way up to 8. It's still covered against Oklahoma State. So I think what's important out of this whole thing, my learning lesson from last week, is that I hit all my openers and all of those terrible numbers that moved by a touchdown still covered, is that if you have a belief in something, forget the way that the line moves. Just because somebody at the window in Vegas has $10,000 on them and can move a line a whole touchdown doesn't mean that they're any smarter than you. If you are feet in the ground and you absolutely believe something is a play, don't worry about the line movement. Don't worry if something floats up. You know, crossing key numbers is a big deal. You want to make sure you get the best of a key number. But at the same time, if you really feel like you have the right spot, the right trend, and the right number, then fire away. No matter if it's $10 or $1,000.
It's really easy to get in your own head watching some of these lines. But that's the thing. If you have conviction, stick with your play. Because at the end of the day, a line can move 2 points. It can move 10 points. They still have to go suit up and play the game. And the games aren't played at the ticket window.
That was nuts last week.
Yeah. No, and it worked out nicely for you in any regard. So, all good there. The next one we've got here is one of my plays. And I hit this, I believe, during one of my midnight feeding sessions of the last couple nights. I took Virginia plus 10.5 at Pitt. And, you know, this is going to be a little similar analysis to what I talked about with the Iowa-Illinois game, where I don't believe that Pitt deserves to be laying double digits and can cover double digits. Sure, Virginia, if you watched them the last time out against Boise State, they looked like absolute dog shit. No doubt about it. I think the snowball started rolling down the hill and the wheels fell off. But now that you look at Boise, that game and the next game with Rippon in there, it looks like maybe the Boise coaching staff made the wrong decision. They look like they have an upgrade. And this looks like a potential top 15 team with that defense and the way Rippon's now running the offense. But if you take that game away, Virginia had no problem moving the ball against a tough UCLA defense before their stars were injured. They had no problem moving the ball against Notre Dame. So this is a team that can do a little bit on offense. Now, I know Pittsburgh has a fantastic defense, and they have absolutely taken on the personality of their new coach, Pat Narduzzi, who comes over from Michigan State. They're fourth in the nation in total defense, so I get that. That's going to cause Virginia some problems. But I just don't trust this Pitt offense at all. Out of 128 teams in the nation, Pitt is 115th in offense. They don't have a lot. And if you look at Virginia's strength, it's their secondary. So when Pitt tries to throw the ball, they're going to have a challenging time. So I really like Virginia to hang around this low-scoring game, and I just don't trust this Pitt offense, even though they have a great defense, to cover double digits. So I grab the 10.5 here, and I believe it's still hanging around 10 right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I got some 10.5s. It's all gone down to 10. Actually, Bookmaker now hanging at 9.5, so that's good news for you. ESPN FPI projects this, Virginia off of a bye on the road to Pitt. ESPN FPI projects this as 11.5-point game, but my power ratings say that this is a 6-point game. So I would suggest taking the 10 and taking, you know, if you can get the hook, great, but I think 10 is good too.
Yeah, I know it's sitting at 8.5 earlier in the week, and Virginia announced a couple starters were out. It did float up a little bit, but is Iowa going to cover the double digits? Or sorry, not Iowa, Pitt, I don't see it. So now we finally get to a game that that you and I are both on, as well as Hayden. So another one of our teams, the UMass Minutemen at Bowling Green. I grabbed 13. Colin was lucky enough to see a tick up, and you grabbed a 14 there. And Hayden, I know, has 13 as well. But catching points at Bowling Green. You want to kick that off, Colin?
Yeah, poor CK here is nursing a baby. I was literally hosting a dual birthday party for my two sons, and I saw UMass at 14. I was like, oh, hitting it immediately. I'm glad I got a good number, but I don't think it matters in this case. And let me just say that Bowling Green, they can't stop anybody, and giving up 14 points to UMass is it's a very capable UMass offense. This offense has shown signs against Temple, against other teams, that they can turn it on when they want to turn it on. We are now in conference play. And there's a reason that I hit UMass 40-1, 30-1. There's a reason I took them to win the MAC, because I actually see something with, help me out here, Chris,
Fraunapple.
We love our senior starting. I think he's like 27 years old. We love our quarterback for UMass. And 63% of the money's coming in on Bowling Green right now. The number's been teetering. It's fallen to 12.5 across some books. It's sitting at 13.5 across some, but the LVH and Cantor Gaming are hanging at 13. But the online books, and most of us are at, like Five Dimes and Bet Online, are sitting at 13.5. I don't think it matters. I think this is a single digit game that goes back and forth. The total is at 79. So if you want to do the math on that, that's a 35-34 game. Listen, Mass is going to score. The Minutemen are going to score 28 points in this game, so you shouldn't worry about them covering a 14. Or 13.
Yeah, that's exactly it. This is, I love Bowling Green and Matt Johnson. In fact, Matt Johnson is right now the best quarterback in the nation, at least if you look from a yards perspective. He's the only quarterback that's thrown for over 2,000 yards. He's number one. And Fraunapple has over 1,200 yards passing, but he's played one less game. If you had played five full games, he'd be in the top 20 passing as well. I think what's interesting, and I've talked about this in past pods, is UMass is completely a one-dimensional team. They can't run the ball. They're in the bottom 20% of rushing teams, but it has not made a difference at all. They have been able to throw the ball against Temple. They've been able to throw the ball against Notre Dame. Again, two quality defenses. They've also played Colorado. I mean, they played three pretty solid teams. Colorado may be at a little bit lower level, but still, they've been challenged.
Yeah, and this is the reason that their season, I mean, you look at their season win total, it was at 4.5. So you're thinking, you're crazy for taking them to win the MAC when their season win total is at 4.5. They have a very tough non-conference schedule, which is going to help them with MAC play.
Exactly. And you know, so they're going to score just the same way the Bowling Green is. Now, I know the Bowling Green is a juggernaut, but UMass has put up a ton of points, and they've been prepared for this moment. Here's the deal. Bowling Green, 114th in the nation, allowing 482 yards. UMass, 112th in the nation, allowing 471 yards. Again, you know, and UMass has played some really tough teams. Last year, these two teams played. Bowling Green won 47-42 in UMass. Fraunapple set the UMass single-game passing record, 589 yards. There's no reason he can't put up gigantic numbers. This should be a one-score game, and it's not at all possibly that UMass could win this game. So this is a good one. I think plus 13, plus 12, plus 11, plus 10, all play. I think UMass hangs around all day. This should be a shootout back and forth.
Love it.
Okay, so let's talk about another opener I grab, which is Florida Atlantic, and I grab them at minus one. They are hosting Rice, and really here, this is I like the Florida Atlantic team and Johnson, kind of what they can do offensively, but really this is a little bit of a fade of Rice, who's on their fourth roadie and fifth game. Not going to go into too much detail. Paul, I know this is one that you have your eye on as well. Do you want to add anything there?
No, you're right. You hit it. The fact that you know that Rice is on their fourth road game in five. I have this power rated as Florida Atlantic winning this game by 4 points. ESPN FPI has Florida Atlantic winning this game by 3.5 points. So, you know, Chris got a good number with the minus one. It's currently sitting at 3.5 across the board. If you don't think that you want to swallow those points with Florida Atlantic coming off of a bye, taking on a Rice team that's really road tired, then just notch Florida Atlantic in as one of your, I'm going to money line marry this with somebody else with a dancing partner.
There you go. So we call another one of your underplays. Next one is Pat. Our card is Akron under 55.
Yeah, I got them under 55. You know, the trend going into this game, and you know, I played some of my trends blindly because I think they're so strong, you know, because they have to deal with a team psyche, with their coaching, whether they're coming off of a bye, whether they're playing within conference. You know, they're very, very strong trends. I don't pay attention to them unless they're above 80%. So this one specifically was a 13-2 under for Akron against conference play. So, you know, if I can see the number, if I can see the total open up and I can see it start trending a certain way, I'll hop on it right away. So I was on Akron under 55. Currently, we are at 53. So, you know, if you got to do some mathematics here, you would think 52 is kind of a key number. So, you know, just make sure if you're going to hit the under here, you know, Eastern Michigan, I can't even explain what's going on with this team. It's such an enigma. This between getting slammed for a 50 spot on Army and then keeping it within a touchdown at halftime against Fournette, I cannot figure this Eastern Michigan team out at all. I do love
the
trend.
Rush defense in the nation, and it's just surprising. Yeah, I can't believe what happened.
They're killing me. Akron's trend is 13-2 on the under against conference. So you know, if you like unders, this is the spot.
So next we've got is a big one for both Colin and I, and that's Navy and Notre Dame. This is one I hit on Sunday. Colin, we'll talk about in just a second, one of his gold nugget plays over the summer. I grabbed the opener at 17. The line has now trickled down and sits around 14.5. I think there may be a couple 14s out there as well. But, you know, a couple things here. Notre Dame, this is a major sandwich game here. Coming off, obviously, not only a sandwich game, but you're coming off a loss, and a tough loss, which certainly puts a dent in their playoff chances. Not out of it by any means, but certainly puts the onus on them to win out. And now you have to get up and get prepared for Navy. And you've got USC on deck, which is just a monster game for both of those teams. And it's not easy on short rest after a loss. That's a short rest, but after a loss, to get up and get prepared for an option team. So that's not easy. And the one thing actually is Notre Dame has a very good defense, but they're actually allowing 150 a game on the ground, which is about 60th in the nation. And number three, this is the number three rush offense coming in. We love Keenan Reynolds. And what's funny is Navy is 11-1 against the spread at Notre Dame the last two times. Mm-hmm. The last 2 years, they've gotten double digits. They've covered both again. So tough spot for Notre Dame to pick themselves up and play what is going to be a tough, challenging offense to prepare for coming off a loss. Colin, I know you hit this at the Golden Nugget. You want to talk a little more about your angle? I'm sure something similar there with the sandwich spot.
Yeah, the whole thing was you know, I'll throw a shout-out to Matt Lindetrain, who we love having on for Best Bets. When I walked into the Nugget in June for the openers, this was one of my spot of the year. Navy falls in between a trip to Clemson and hosting USC, which is their rival. And Clemson's going to soon turn into one of their new rivals because they're going to play ACC teams all the time. But Navy has a special offense that you have to prepare for, and they're falling into a sandwich spot on Notre Dame's schedule. I didn't really care what the number was, and when Golden Nugget back in June put it up on the board as a 14, I sat there and I stared at it, and I had it power rated as a 20. Now, this was back in June. This is no games have been played. You know, I mean, we're just a couple months off spring camp, and I'll throw some props out to Matt Lindetrain. He's like, you know what? I wouldn't play that unless it was 21. I told him, I said, you're right. I've got it at 20, but I can't ignore the spot. I can't ignore the fact this falls between Clemson and USC. And Chris just told you that, you know, they're 11-1 against the spread, you know, playing at Notre Dame. And, you know, another thing is Navy's 12-4 against the spread as an away dog. Another thing that makes me – I feel good about my Nugget number at 14. And, you know, Chris should feel really good about that thing that popped up to 17. But the other thing that I love is that the over-under, the total on this game is coming in at 55.5. And right now, 81% of the tickets that are coming in on totals are coming in on the over, and it's not going over 55.5 at all. As a matter of fact, it's at 55 on Sportsbook, 55 at LVH. So what does that tell you? You're getting a 14 or a 14.5 point dog with a game that's going to end up being under 55 points, which is a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, the spots don't get much better than when you get a sandwich game is already big enough for us to look at something you consider playing a team, and then you have to play an offense, an option offense that you have to be very disciplined for, and that leads right into my next game, which is a very similar spot for me, and this is my my buy low, sell high Arizona State UCLA game of the week. I hyped that game up a lot last week on Twitter, as just that was just crazy, that number being at 14 for Arizona State. I think this is a similar situation where the number's not outrageous, but I think the spot for Georgia Tech getting 7.5 against Clemson is an interesting one here. I think you've got Georgia Tech off of two losses. Their stock is absolutely down, where Clemson's stock is about as high as it can be. And the thing we have to remember about Clemson, yeah, they look great. They beat Notre Dame last week in the rain. Notre Dame turned the ball over four times. Notre Dame won that box score. I mean, they out first down, they doubled the yardage on them. It wasn't more than 2 or 3 weeks ago where Louisville was giving Clemson fifth down wire. So let's not put Clemson on a pedestal yet. I'm not sure about that offense. That defense showed me something. But now the defense has to strap their chin strapped up and get ready for an option offense coming off of a huge win. So similar situation off the big win. Now they're facing a Georgia Tech team that comes in with the option. And Paul Johnson thrives in this situation. Last year he was an underdog five times. He covered every time, and he won it four times in a row. Clemson, meanwhile, hasn't even really been in this spot under Dabo Swinney. I went back and looked at all the games they've had, and they haven't had too many huge, huge wins regular season. They've had some London Bowl games or end of year or coming with a bye next, you know, the week after, or with an FCS team afterwards. They haven't really had a game where they've had a tough game afterwards. So it'll be interesting to see how Dabo gets his team ready to go this week. But I think, again, there's some value. And I grabbed it at 7.5. I know it's trickled down to 7, but I do like Georgia Tech in this spot. Be careful. Georgia Tech could be smelling upset this weekend. Colin, anything for you on that game?
No, we got 57% on Clemson. The only thing that sticks out to me is 7 across the board, but Bookmaker took this to 6.5 within the last couple hours. So, you know, you would think maybe this would trend back up, but, you know, Georgia Tech, if this thing goes down to 6.5, we've clearly crossed a key number.
Yeah. So I do think it's upset alert here big time for Clemson, and just a difficult spot. So I do like the 7.5 here that I got on Sunday. Another game that you hit as well on an opener was Wisconsin +1 against Nebraska.
Yeah, I did, because I've got Wisconsin. ESPN FPI makes Wisconsin a 2-point favorite, and I've got Wisconsin as a 5-point favorite, and they opened up as a +1. So I thought, clearly they have the wrong team favorite here. Nebraska has just so incompetent on offense, especially in that Illinois game. You know, that was more of a statement to me about what Nebraska is incapable of on offense. And I mean, their defense just can only go out there so many times and force, force punts. You know, their offense is just dog shit terrible. And yet, I thought Wisconsin +1 would be good, but the number has hung on 1.5 or 1 all week, while Wisconsin has gotten 67% of the tickets. So I might be on the wrong side here, and Nebraska might actually pull this off and win by 2 or more. So there's a very good chance of me buying off of my Wisconsin +1. I'll take the 1.5 with Nebraska with corn, and I'll probably just swallow the juice, and maybe I'll be wrong here, but I still have not seen anything out of Nebraska to make me believe that they're any good.
Yeah, so keep an eye on the Twitter there in terms of what the play goes for with Wisconsin Nebraska. Our next game is, I believe, the only other game that at least you, I, and Hayden are all on, and that's Ball State at Northern Illinois. All three of us on, so consensus play. Colin, let's kick this off. I got a bunch of stuff. I'm excited about this game.
Yeah, I'll just throw the numbers down, and I'll let you take over the rest because, like I said, I was standing in the middle of a dual birthday party for my sons, and the number opened up, I think, 14, right? Opened up 14? I know it opened up. So
it did. It 14 for about, I would say, 30 seconds. Because we were scrambling to get in. And Jimmy Shivers got 14, I think, because we were trying to get in and it ticked down by 2 points.
Oh,
that
lucky son of a bitch. So, yeah, I'm standing there at the middle of this birthday party. And I had this game power rated at a 5. You know, so I had this under a touchdown for NIU. I have NIU winning by 5. So when I heard, or like our text messages started flying back and forth, that this thing was at 14. The second I got it was 11.5. I think you got 11.5. Hayden got 11.5.
Literally dropped 2.5 points. It didn't go to 13 or 12. It dropped 2.5 points.
Yeah, I think I was lucky to get 11.5 because I think Hayden got it a couple minutes before I did. But yeah, so right now, Ball State's 73% of the money. We're sitting at 10.5 across the board. Bovada, Squarebooks, got it down to a 10. don't be surprised to see this thing dip below 10, and Ball State will be in the dirty parlay. They got a chance to beat the Huskies.
Ooh, you're stealing my thunder. I absolutely think the same thing, too. I think you know, I mentioned that UMass, maybe they're a long shot to beat Bowling Green, you know, if you're thinking about dirty parlays. This one is a double digit that I really like, that I think has a better than a long shot chance to win the game. So here's what's interesting. I saw this stat, and certainly it's not a reason to bet the game, but it's certainly interesting stat. Since 2005, Ball State is the best road team against the spread with a 35-13 record. Not a reason they're going to bet the game, but interesting the way that they prepare and play on the road. And you just saw them a couple weeks ago play Northwestern down to the wire, losing by 4. But just a week ago, Ball State lost to Toledo 24-14, lost by 14 at home, and only have to go on the road and cover 11.5 or 11.5. So here's the thing. Here's the one reason Ball State will cover this game, and that's the running game. Ball State thrives on being able to run the ball. So far, they're averaging about 200 yards per game. That number, which is about 46th in the nation, that number was about 230 or in the top 20 a week ago before Toledo completely took that away from them. What's interesting about Toledo that everybody may not know is they have an unbelievable front seven. Very good at stopping the run. They actually rank 7th in the nation, allowing just 81 yards per game. They shut down the run game, both the quarterback and the running back. That's something Northern Illinois can't do. Let's look at Ball State's other games. Against Texas A&M, they ran for 240 yards, 6 per carry. Against Eastern Michigan, 278 yards, 5 per carry. Against Northwestern, 181 yards, 5 per carry. Northwestern and Texas A&M have very good defenses. Toledo, 26 yards on 30 attempts. They got completely shut down, put the pressure on the freshman quarterback. That will not happen against the Ball State or against Northern Illinois team that's allowing 150 a game. I think Northern Illinois will have the running lanes. That'll take the pressure off, open up some opportunities for both the quarterback and Darian Green to run the ball. Riley Neal then can step back, make some plays, safe throws. As you said, Colin, I think Ball State here has a chance to take the outright upset. Absolutely should be in your dirty parlay. Make sure you put a little bit of sprinkle on this 11.5. I think they have a chance to pull the upset here.
3 weeks away from Tuesday night action. Everybody get ready.
That's right. And we have some Sunbelt action next Tuesday, I believe. We get a little Sunbelt action. I think Arc State's in prime time. Another big game. Neither of us have a player. We want to mention that Northwestern Michigan, which is the marquee game this week. Anything? I know, Colin, you were thinking about a play there. For me so far. What's your take here?
Well, my take is that Harbaugh is getting. Listen, the quarterback play there is only getting better. The defense is outstanding. Michigan. By the time they get to Sparty, by the time they get to the Buckeyes, to me, it's going to be a legit team. They have been a work in progress. I knew they weren't going to beat Utah. I mean, the three of us, you and me and Hayden, all agree that this was, you know, Utah was not going to lose the game. It was too soon. This team was just going to get better and better as the weeks gone by, and I would not be surprised. A total is 35 on this game against Northwestern. So 73% of the money is coming in on Northwestern. It's hanging on 7.5, -7.5. CCH, you see us take a lot of dogs. We love dogs, and we love hitting money line on dogs. But I'm telling you right now that I think Michigan's going to cover this -7.5, and I think that defense might pitch a shutout.
Well, and here's some numbers to support. And if you look at just top defenses, there are two teams in their own class. You start with the third best defense statistically, and that's North Carolina State. They'll have 226 yards. Then you have a team every 3 or 4 yards. There are two teams allowing under 200 yards. Number one is Boston College, which has been phenomenal at 140 yards per game. Number two is Michigan at 184. They are playing fantastic defense, and that Northwestern offense is not exactly tearing it up. So I agree, it's Michigan or nothing here just because of that defense. But this is what Harbaugh does. He did it at San Diego. He did it at Stanford. He did it at the 49ers. He didn't need his own recruits. He went in and turned programs around with the current players, which is absolutely amazing. That just speaks to the way he motivates teams. So, all right, let's move on. Iowa State, this is one we have both added in the last 24 hours, +13. I know we have a similar angle on this. Colin, I'll let you kick it off. I think we're going to both talk pretty much about the same thing, but right. You have Iowa State +13. I think you have 12.5 or 12 or whatever it is.
Yeah, let me throw some numbers at it. You know, Iowa State, ESPN FPI has this game as a 13-point game. I don't see it that way. I have this game as a 4-point game with Texas Tech winning by 4 points, not 13. So that's what kind of turned me on to it. But then today, I mean, there's just a flood of money coming in on the Texas Tech side. 76% of the tickets coming in. We're sitting on a dead number, you know, a dead number being between 10.5 and 12.5. So the dead number has been 12 all week. Started to see some flickers of 11.5 across the board. At this point, I just because I power rate it as Texas Tech winning by four, you know, this I had no problem laying 12 because I think getting double digits with the Cyclones here is not an issue, and it'll lead into what Chris has to say. But I mean, literally, look at Texas Tech's schedule. They went to Arkansas and kicked their ass. They played a high octane game against TCU that they were in and out, in and out, in and out. And they just got done putting up, I think, 36 points against Baylor's almost 60. So they've had three games in a row that are highly emotional. These are college kids. There is an emotional tank, and Texas Tech's is empty.
That's it. You said it exactly. Exactly what I was going to talk about. Hunter B. And Texas Tech, out of 128 teams in the nation, and I know they played TCU and Baylor, they're 124th in total defense. They allow almost 600 a game. Sam Richardson and
Sam Houston,
offense,
Sam,
wow, they can move the ball.
Sam Houston State rushed for over 300 yards in the first game against Texas Tech. So
that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. So exactly, I think this is a lot of points for Iowa State. I think they should stay right in this game. This is one of those games. Wouldn't even surprise me to see Iowa State win it. You know, just given the state of what we may see from Texas Tech on Saturday. Another big game. I know we've got no plays right now, but both you and I like the same side, and maybe an ad in the next, you know, 48 hours. But Tennessee and Georgia, both you and I are leaning towards the home dog here with Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm going to take Tennessee. You know, Uga's soft. We all know that. They're soft. They're soft in the trenches. They're soft all over. They got their ass kicked by Alabama last week. I don't think they're going to rebound very well from that Alabama ass kicking. Tennessee, on the other hand, lost a game that they shouldn't have lost. Arkansas gave them plenty of chances to win that game, especially with Bielema calling stupid-ass fake field goals, only up by 4 points at the very end of the game. Tennessee is you know, they're a good coach team with Bush Jones, but the problem is I'm not sure if the entire locker room is behind them. I think they're going to step up this week. I think Georgia's soft. I think Tennessee is going to run them up. You know, so 80% of the tickets are on Georgia right now. The number's sitting on 3, 2.5 on Bet Online, but 3.5 on Sportsbook. I don't think it matters. Take Tennessee with a 3 if you want, but for me, I'm going to hit a money line also.
Tennessee money line for me also. This is on my car, will be on my car as well. So I think you can expect, as of now, if you're hearing this podcast, if you want to hit it, Cole and I will both be on this game by Saturday.
Yeah.
So Syracuse, South Florida. We always love to talk about South Florida. And, so we've got not opposite sides, just separate bets. I'm on one side, you're on a total. So I've got Q's plus 3. You've got the under. So just, you know, I'll quickly mention my play on Q's here, and I think it's a Q's plus 3, and I'll be hitting a little bit of money line as well. You know, I think a couple things for me. First, Dungy was cleared to play for Syracuse, and that's a big get at quarterback. That improves that offense tremendously, and they should be able to do a little bit more with Dungy back at quarterback. But this USF offense is a hot mess. They really have one element in their offense, and that's Mack in the backfield, and that is his ability to run the ball. And last week, I know that myself, Colin, and Hayden, I believe we all ended up on South Florida last week.
Right.
One of the reasons why I was on is because I knew that Mack would be able to run the ball against a soft Memphis D. They will not be able to do that against Syracuse, who is one of the better defense in stopping the run. They're up in the top 20 rush defense. They will not be able to do that. They'll take that away. This is a live road dog. I think Hughes goes in there, wins that game, gets a boost back from Dungy, wins the game. Colin, you're looking at a total play on this. What do you got here?
Yeah, so I got one of my strong trends. USF is 13-2 on the under since 2010 as a home dog. So they're definitely a home dog in this scenario here. And 13-2 the under was a good sign for me to lead into this game. Right now we're looking at It opened up at 48.5. It clipped up to 49, which is a key number. If you can do any mathematics there, you know it's 7 times 7. So it got up to 49, and I decided that was a time to fire on the under. The good news is it's gone back to 48.5. Cantor Gaming took it down to 47.5. There's some 48s across some of the square books. I suggest the under. Syracuse is coming off of a bye. So not only is South Florida just a hot mess on offense, Syracuse is coming off of a bye. So, you know, it may take them a quarter or two before they, you know, stop doing three and outs. So I completely suggest the under here.
Well, and this is the first support call. I'm not playing the under, but, you know, although I say Syracuse offense is better with Dungy, it's not like they're lighting it up either. I mean, this is not an offense that would scare anyone. And we already know the USF mess. So it absolutely, the under makes a ton of sense and supported by your trend there. So let's stay in Florida. We went from South Florida. Let's go to Central Florida. I know this is one you have a lean on. I have no plan, but how about your Central Florida lean? We'll talk a little bit about that game.
Yeah, I'm gonna end up being on UCF. I don't know if it's gonna be a money line play, but it's probably gonna be taking the -2.5, -2 currently at Sportsbook, but I don't have Sportsbook. It's either gonna be a money line or a -2.5. I don't think the spread's gonna come into contention. So Connecticut starts this shit like 6-7 months ago about how they built a trophy to make this into a rivalry, and UCF wanted nothing to do with it, right? I mean, UCF at the time had bigger fish to fry. They're playing in New Year's Six bowls. They ain't got time to listen to UConn bark at them. UConn's a basketball school. They don't got time to listen to them barking about some damn rivalry. Well, the week has come where UConn has circled this, and you know they've been sending shit down to Orlando. So 75% of the money's coming in on the Huskies. The Huskies are terrible. I've got UCF power rated to win this game by 6 points. ESPN FPI's got UCF to win this game by 3 points. UConn's on back-to-back road travel. They went to BYU last week, and now they're going down to Orlando. And I know you can get direct flights from Hartford down to Orlando on AirTran, and you can get a nice video, but I'm telling you, UCF is going to win. UCF's been terrible. They've lost to an FCS team this year. They're not going to lose this game. Take UCF with confidence.
So another game that I'm going to mention that neither of us have a play on is Louisiana Tech at Texas San Antonio. And UTSA is getting 11.5, and I just want to mention it so you can get the meat deep in the podcast. Make sure you drop it here. All right. Colin, you hit Wyoming with catching a big number against Air Force. I know you got some stuff on that Wyoming number there.
Yeah, the thing is Air Force is coming off a game with Navy where they completely shit the bed. I mean, I had Navy last week, but let's face it, Air Force kind of shit the bed and gave up on the game. Next week they got Colorado State, which, you know, is kind of they consider a rivalry because of proximity. But Wyoming is 6-0 against the spread in this series against Air Force. They're also 11-4 against the spread and as away team since 2013. And here we go again. I'm back in a Wyoming team, another team that's lost to an FCS team this year.
North Dakota.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a good team. So
the Fighting Sioux.
Yeah, I can't. I have a hard. I even though I've been to Sioux City 100 times, I can't. S I O U X. I'll get it right. Anyways, you know, Wyoming, I had a power rated as an 18-point game. So when the opener came out at 24, I was happy to hit it. It's kind of got up to 25, come back down to 24. It looks like right now Wyoming's actually getting 65% of the ticket count while it sits on 24. I can't imagine that the number of tickets are not that high, and I can't imagine it being any sharp money playing either Wyoming or Air Force, but Wyoming owns this series, so I'm taking 24, especially when my power ratings put this a touchdown less.
Nice. And one thing to further support that idea here is, you know, I don't think Wyoming's going to stop Air Force a lot, but one of the things about Wyoming is they've been last in the nation in red zone scoring. They're getting there. They've gotten there 19 times. They're just converting 10 of them. And so if they can turn a couple of those into more field goals or more touchdowns, I think that's where, because they're moving the ball. They just got to get it into the end zone.
Right.
So a game that all three of us have, actually, I don't know if Hayden has this, is Washington State against Oregon, catching a big number. Let's talk a little about Washington State.
So you want me to go ahead and talk about another team that I'm backing that lost to an FCS team this year? Yeah, they lost to Portland State earlier this year. Wazoo, just such an enigma. You know, I mean, they're on back-to-back road travel here, so you'd expect them to have a tough time going to Oregon, who kind of proved themselves last week at Colorado, if you can prove yourself against Colorado. You know, Wazoo's coming in on back-to-back road travel, but here's the deal. They're 5-0 against the spread in this series against the Ducks. It doesn't matter if the Ducks are national championship contenders with Marcus Mariota. The Wazoo has owned them against the spread and I think flat out beat them straight up twice in the last 6 years. I have this game power rated at a 14. ESPN FPI has this game power rated at a 16. I caught it at 19. I suggest anything 17 and above.
Nice. All right. Well, I'm going to move past a couple just because I hear a crying baby upstairs. I know I've got West Virginia. You've got Tulsa. If we want to mention the college travel, there's a couple big games I want to make sure we hit on, which is Missouri versus Florida. Missouri, I hit the over at 3.5, 3.5. You got a great number on both. I had a plus 6 today, and the spot is great. I went back and added another unit at the plus 5.5. No denying the spot here. Let's talk a little bit about why we like Mizzou.
Hey, Florida just beat Ole Miss, and before that, they played. They beat Tennessee by 1 point. This is the flat spot. Take Missouri with confidence. They will win this game.
100%. Coming off those two games, miracle against Tennessee, then they hammer Ole Miss. Now they go play with Missouri. I know Missouri's offense is ugly. They've got Drew Locke coming in, the blue chip, right? But you've got a great defense at home. I love Florida.
Drew Locke is an upgrade over Matty Mock. Let's be honest.
You're right. The blue chip freshman. It's just an experience, I guess. Yeah, right. Yeah. You're right. And so I think we both love that spot. That's a big hammer play. And I expect that number to come back down. So if it's sitting at 5 or 5.5, Colin Stoll on that Bovada bet at plus 6. If it's sitting at 5 or 5.5, I'll grab that now.
Right.
So I won't spend too much time. Another play I love this week is San Jose State at UNLV. UNLV is off their first road win since 2013. You know, this is the San Jose State team I'm a big fan of. They out physical Auburn last week. More first downs, more yards. They ran the ball on Auburn. I know Auburn's a hot mess, but they still are an SEC team with SEC recruits. And San Jose State continues to run the ball very effectively. Tyler Irvin, second leading rusher in the nation. You know, they are the most balanced team in the Midwest and the Mountain West. 200 yards rushing, 200 yards passing, two QBs that can make plays. I think they'll run the ball well. I like the spot with UNLV coming off that road win. One of my favorite games as well is the San Jose State game. I like San Jose State to cover the number. I got it on the opener as a pick. It's up to 2.5 or 3. I think that number's still good. I like San Jose State big this weekend by 7 or more. So I know that one of the last games we want to hit is both of the games we're starting to like. I have hit it already. You'll be hitting it as well. But let's talk a little bit about Cal getting 7 against Utah in the big game of the weekend where game day is going to be up in Utah.
Yeah, actually, let's do that, and then we'll wrap up with Kansas State TCU, where there might be a top 5 defeat going on there. But let's do Cal Utah since you mentioned it. I'm in love with the Bears this week, and the reason is, I mean, there's a lot of reasons going into it. But, you know, first off, my power ratings say this game is going to be less than a touchdown. It actually says it's going to be about 3.5 points if you could score a half point in an actual game. Utah is getting 79% of the money at home. It's sitting at 7 across the board, a couple of 7.5s out there. Here's the deal. Cal's offense is amazing. I think they're going to have their way. They're going to be able to do what they want in Salt Lake. I don't know what they're going to be able to do with Booker. Plus, another problem is, the thing is with Cal's offense, is that Utah is one of the worst in the nation at third down stops. So Cal's going to be able to score whenever they want. But I don't know what they're going to do on defense when it comes to Booker. So I'm going to take Cal. I expect them to keep it within a touchdown, and they've got a real chance to win this game. Get the season win total over for people that have it, like Chris.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I get the Utah angle. They got the better defense, they got the better special teams, and they're at home. But obviously Cal's defense is playing much better. They're creating turnovers, the top 10 in the nation in sacks, number 1 in turnovers. But this is the best quarterback they faced all year, and it's not even close. And the battle of the trenches is going to be super important to whether Cal can pull the upset. Goff's gotten pressured a lot of the year, and one of the things that makes him so great is his ability to make plays under pressure. I think that's super important. You know, I think one of the things here about this this Utah team is I think everyone's so high on them because they rolled up 530 yards, 50 plus at Oregon. But what did they do before that? Before that, they hadn't gained more than 380 yards against any team. And against Michigan and Oregon, they benefited from five turnovers. That's not something Cal's going to do. Goff is the number one quarterback on the board for a reason. He's going to make some big plays, and I think this is a great spot on a Utah team that's a little bit overhyped. This line is too high. This line will trickle under seven by game day. And what's interesting, not being here at Utah, but by Kyle Whittingham, 3-7 against the spread after a bye. I think Cal goes into Utah. They stay inside the number with a good chance to win this game. I'll be adding some money line here as well. So I really like Cal, as Colin's saying. He likes as well. He'll be adding. So we'll wrap up, Colin. You got a big one on K-State TCU.
Yeah, I only have one X on it right now, and the reason is because, you know, the Roz, I was a little worried that a service play, people that, you know, are betting dimes are going to come in and move this line by a touchdown. So I wanted to get a stable ground. I got 8.5 with Kansas State. There's a million things going on here with both teams, so let me just start with TCU. TCU is on back-to-back road travel. They just got done with a Texas Tech game 2 weeks ago, where it was just point after point, you know, just trading blows about who was going to take the lead. And then they put up a 50 spot against Texas. And if you don't know anything about Texas high school football, every Texas kid in high school, once they get to college, they want to beat the University of Texas because they didn't get recruited. Last week was a big emotional game for those TCU kids. So now they're going up to Manhattan in a night game. Let's talk about, you know, the Wizard. The Wizard is 7-1 straight up at home when Kansas State is there, and you know their loss was against Auburn last year. Snyder is also 10-1 against the spread after a straight-up loss since 2011. You know, TCU is also 1-4 against the spread on the road. So let's think about the last year. Everybody said, you know, you don't want to get – TCU is a buzzsaw. You don't want to get in the way. No way. Let me remind everybody, last year – everybody was on this TCU train. They went to Texas Tech and they put up 80 points, over 80 points, against Texas Tech last year. The next week, they traveled to West Virginia and they only won that game by 1 point in the last minute. So I'm expecting Kansas State to keep it close. I'm expecting them to keep it within a touchdown. And I'm expecting it to be a huge scare. And Snyder does his magic again with a fifth-string quarterback that I think he pulled off the intramural field.
Yeah, the wide receiver. And the interesting thing is, TCU, we talked about this before the season, when a couple of us played Minnesota, they're not a good team against the spread on the road. So all the angles and trends are there. I'm not on the bet yet, but most likely get up there by Saturday. So call it obviously some compelling stuff for Kansas State. So we got to wrap up now. I've got a crying baby upstairs.
Yep.
I've got to go tend to. But we cranked through a number of games. We're going to wrap up here. We'll be back on Friday with the best sets, which are absolutely on fire with all three of us hitting last week. And obviously, been trained undefeated. We're back on Friday. But that's it. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you on Friday.
Sports Kid. See you.